Okay, the scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Gospels of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. If you want to open your device or take a copy, paper copy in front of you, the Bible. Okay, if you want to follow along. The shepherds and the angels, verse 8, chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels have left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds say to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurry off and find Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what has been told them about this child. And all who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's the word of the Lord.
So this morning, I'm going to talk about good news for all. And I think we all know that Christmas is about good news, not bad news, about good news. So when I prepare my sermon, so I said, maybe I should start with myself. So what are the five good news in my life that I am still giving me an impact? So I start screening out all the good news. And these five good news has to be good news that are announced to me. So I wrote down five good news. It will help you to know me a little bit more. So some of these are my secrets that I never told anybody. But you feel free to announce it to everybody. Chronologically, so the first good news I wrote down, the five good news in my life, is when I was graduating from high school. I finished high school in Vancouver. So I wrote a physics competition in BC. So I won an award. So isn't that exciting? So I won a prize. So actually, I won the second prize. So that's not too bad. So I actually got a telegram. Anybody know what a telegram is? You have to be over 50 to know what a telegram is. So that's before the time when we have cell phone, emails, and all these doodads. And so in those days, when you want to send a message all quickly, so besides the mail, the letter, then you send a telegram, right? Then you have to go and pick it up, and then you got the telegram. So I still have the telegram in my at home. So the second good news that was announced to me is it was announced by Simo Cynthia. So I guess you could guess what that is. And so Cynthia said, "Okay, I will marry you." So that's my second good news in my life. I still remember how excited I was. I was jumping up and down. So in those days, I can jump a lot higher than now. So the third good news was also announced to me by Cynthia, is that we're going to have a baby. So Grace is coming. So I still remember how excited I was coming of our first child, I guess. Pastor Sam would echo that. And then my third good news in my life is when the district told me that you're passed, you now can be ordained. I'm really excited that because it is a recognition of my ministries, and also it's a confirmation of God's calling for me into ministry. And my last, the fifth one, is when my boss told me that you've been promoted to be a director in mechanical engineering. So I was really excited, not only that I'll get more money now, not now, I mean then, get more money, and then I felt that my contribution to the company, my skill, my talents, has been appreciated after 35 years. So I was very proud of that I've contributed to the company and to my area of engineering. So those are the five good news in my life that was announced to me. Now, I did not put down good news when I became a Christian, but because no one announced it to me, so I announced it to myself. So I didn't put it down. So good news announced to us. This morning, we read the scripture. Good news announced to the people, the Israelites, that Jesus is born. News was announced in a very difficult time of the Jewish people. Politically, they are under the ruling of the Romans. They are like a colony. They do not have their sovereignty. They have to pay heavy taxes to the Romans. They don't exactly have all the freedom that they want. And economically, religious-wise, it is a dark age, a dark time of the Jewish people. They were waiting for a Messiah to come and rescue them from their darkness. They're waiting for that light. They waited for 400 years. In the 400 years, God did not give them any new revelation. So they were patiently or impatiently waiting in distress under the control of the Gentiles. They were not exactly a very happy people. So under those circumstances, in a dark time of their history, good news came to them. And the good news came to them did not go through the church leaders, their political leaders. It came to them through the shepherds, which I will talk more later on. The shepherd and the angels came and talked to and announced this good news to the shepherds. They were the low people. They were in low positions in their society. They are being looked down upon. But yet God chose these shepherds to announce this good news. And when the shepherds heard the angel, they were scared. They were terribly frightened. They were scared because of these are the angels from God. People are scared today because we have sinned. We read in Genesis, we are all familiar with that. When Adam and Eve, when they have sinned against God, they were scared. They were frightened. They had to hide from God. So when we meet God, when we encounter God, we will be scared. But yet the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." The first thing we learn from this good news is that we do not have to fear. Do not be afraid. Man is afraid of God when we commit sins, when we are sinful, when we have sins that have not repented. We try to stay away from God, like Adam and Eve. Today, we may have other kind of fears in life. In Canada here, we are politically, we are probably one of the most stable country in the world. Economic-wise, I don't know how stable we are. We are getting worse and worse if you pay attention to our economy. But relatively speaking, we are still in a very safe place. But yet, within us, we have different kind of fears, isn't it? I don't know what your fear. Maybe you fear about your future, your study. Your relationship is in trouble with your spouse, friends. Maybe your health. A few months ago, Cynthia went and did a test, and the result wasn't good. It was negative. So they told us that, no, you have to do another one, but you have to wait in the queue for 2 months. So in the 2 months, we're really scared, we're worried. We don't know what that means. Even though the doctor said, don't worry, no, we wait for, when they say, don't worry, we worry, we're scared. But it turns out the second test was done, it was okay. We have different kind of fears. And when last month, or I think it was in September, we went to US, I think I shared that a little bit. We like to wander in art museums, art galleries. And so in an art gallery there, I think it's the National Art Gallery in Washington, D.C., I stood there and looked at this picture for quite some time. This is not painted by a famous artist by any means. But I stood there and I read the description. I find it very interesting. It was saying that this picture represents the fear of man. In this painting, no one died. You don't see any blood or monsters or ghosts or fighting. But there is an indescribable fear. The storm is coming, but it's not fully there yet. The ship haven't still there. The ship is still floating, but it's tilting to one side. You see people coming. I don't know how well you can see this painting. You can see people trying to get off the boat from this rope. They're hanging in there. Some are in a very dangerous position. And then there's a woman here was screaming. We don't know what she was screaming. Is screaming. And then a woman is sitting on here, probably looks like she's recovering from trauma. And someone's pushing this barrel away. People are pulling this rope. And someone up here and just looking at the storm and get really scared. And then another person, you cannot see very clearly, down here, also screaming. But no one died yet. There's no blood in this painting. And then the description said that, this painting portrayed fear, even though it's not here yet. And sometimes we all feel like that, isn't it? So when the test of Cynthia came back, we were in great fear, even though that test doesn't say you have serious illness yet. The good news is that the angel said, fear not. This is the good news. And Jesus came, born so that we do not have to fear about our circumstances, the future, and what lies ahead. Our health, finance. So the first thing about this good news is you don't have to fear. God come and help us to put the fear away. And then the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. I bring you good news. In Greek, the first word, evangelizomai. That's how much Greek I can remember. The first word on your right-hand side. On your left-hand side, sorry. Your left-hand side. Okay. The Greek actually goes from left to right, like English. Right? Hebrew goes from right to left, like Chinese. So the word evangelizomai. I bring good news. That's what the word means. I bring good news. So evangelizomai, which English word does it remind you of? Evangelism, isn't it? So that's the word evangelism came from. I bring you good news. Evangelism. Evangelism. So evangelism is not to convert somebody. You have to twist their arms, twist their neck to convert them into Christians. Evangelism is bringing the good news to the people. That's what evangelism means. The angel said, I bring you good news, a news of joy. Joy is much better, more powerful than happiness. Happiness is like a fountain. If happiness is like a fountain, then joy is like a waterfall. Happiness is shallow. We may be happy that no, tonight we're going to go out and eat turkey, eat chicken. We're going to have a quick meal. Everybody laughed out. Once who came on Friday night, once I mentioned turkey and chicken, they all laughed, and especially Gary there. But joy is much deeper. Happiness may come and go, but joy stays with you. Happiness very much, very often, is related to physical abundance. But joy is deeper in your heart. I may not make as much money as before, but I have joy that God given me this opportunity to serve in a church, that I don't have to carry another secular vocation. So that brings me joy. Joy is not just on depend on the circumstances. Joy is with people, relationship. And this good news that the angel that God is going to give to the world is not just Merry Christmas. I try to stay away sometimes, but I know this is a tradition, say Merry Christmas. But when I write emails and greetings at Christmas time, I like to use the word, I wish you a blessed Christmas. But if I say that with people on the street, my friends, they would not understand what do you mean by blessed Christmas, right? We all say Merry Christmas. So I say Merry Christmas. But what's more valuable is that here the angel is saying, I wish you a blessed, a joyful Christmas. Our joy comes from our salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Isaiah 12:3. Joy comes on our new relationship with God. When our relationship with God is broken, we could not find joy. We will have fear. We have brokenness, sadness in our heart. So the good news today at Christmas time, we have to remind ourselves, because of the birth of Jesus, we can drive away our fear. We can have joy in our life, and also we can have peace. It's another thing that we are looking for in our life, fearless, joy, and peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. This peace is not just safety. This peace, I look up the dictionary, it means tranquility, quietness, harmony, concord, security, prosperity, safety, salvation through Christ. This peace we can only find in Jesus our Lord. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In the world, we heard all the political leaders of country, they sigh, accord of peace. We talk about peace, but yet Jeremiah here says that when we say peace, peace, actually, there's no peace. There's no real peace on this world. Some of us came from Hong Kong, or our parents came from Hong Kong. And I just want to quote you some figures here. I'm not going to comment because it is a big mess in Hong Kong. I don't know how you can comment. I don't want to comment. You don't know what to comment. But I just want to quote you some figures that was published a couple of weeks ago. So it is recorded in the government documentation that during the last 6 months, there were 900, official demonstrations. 900, the more worships that we have at the church here in the last 6 months. 5,800 people have been arrested. the age from 11 to 83. 900 people has been officially prosecuted or been charged. Sorry, I should say been charged. 900 people has been charged. 10,000 tear gas has been fired. 10,000, my goodness, that's a lot of tear gas. 2,600 people have been injured, including 417 police. In one university, they found 3,989 petrol bombs, 573 weapons. Out of the 94 subway stations, 85 has been damaged, some more than once. 730 traffic lights has been sabotaged. 19 real bullets has been fired. And let's go on. These are statistic figures. I don't need to tell you, there's no peace in this city, isn't it? We need to pray for them. Here, the angel said, I bring to people peace. All people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you, all of you, not just some of you, not just the Jewish people, the Israelites, not only people sitting in the church, all people, all of you, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this salvation is for all people. I believe only through Christ Jesus that there could be peace on the earth, in any country, in any war. There are no peace in people because we cannot hold on to anything that's not changing. Our physical, our body is changing, aging. Our finance may not be, right now the stock market is good, we don't know about, there's always talk about a collapse in the stock market. The recession is always around the corner. The world, we don't seem to be able to hang on to anything. Everything seems to be changing. Our relationship seems to be changing. But yet, today, the angel said, no, a child is born, is the Savior. This is Jesus. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In this ever-changing world, there's no peace in Hong Kong. There's not exactly peace in here neither. There may not exactly be peace in your family, in your heart. But there's something that doesn't change. It's God Himself, God's love, from everlasting to everlasting, your God. Psalm 92. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Only when we hold on to someone who does not change, who has control over the universe, then we can find peace in our heart, isn't it? We were unsettled because of the changes, because of the fear, the uncertainties, even in our relationships. But in God, Jesus, the Bible says that God never changed. So when we hang on to Him, then we can have this peace of certainty from today till we see Him face to face. Isn't this the greatest news we can tell people? Isn't this the good news that you need today? No fear, peace, and joy. But this good news is not just for us. It said that Christ is born for you, all of you, not only the people inside our building, in our church, but all the people, even out in the street. Actually, they need this good news even more than us. Why did the angel or God pick the shepherds? Why didn't He pick the church leaders? At those days, not church, right? The religious leaders in those days. Why didn't God pick some political leaders who have great influence in the society at that time. Why did God pick the shepherds? They have no political power. In fact, shepherds are being looked down upon in those days. They are really the lowest of the lowest in the society. But yet God picked these humble people to use them to be the first one who received the good news, because they will share the good news with all the others. God used humble people to share the good news. Today, are we sharing this good news? If not, maybe because of our lack of humility. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. I like this quotation. We are all beggars. We are all broken people. We are all poor people. God gave us this good news. It's not for us to keep, to hide, to put it in our safe or within the four walls of the church. He gave us this bread so that we can tell others where we found this bread, isn't it? So evangelism, this is all it's about. God did not tell us to convert people. He told us to share the good news. That's it. Evangelism means sharing good news. But have we even done that? Have we even tried to invite someone to come to Friday night's meeting to hear the good news? It's not our job to convert people. Ask people ask me to speak in gospel meetings, and then they always a bit uncomfortable at the end. Do you feel comfortable to do a calling at the end of the meeting? Because they are afraid that, I call and nobody raise their hand, then you'll be embarrassed that it wasn't a good meeting. The speaker is not powerful enough to ask people to convert, like Billy Graham. But I always say, no problem. I will call. It's not my job to convert people. My job is to bring people the good news. And it's up to the Holy Spirit to convert them. It's all between the person and Jesus Christ and God Himself. We don't have to worry. Our job is just to tell, to share, to evangelize, tell the good news. God picked the shepherds because they were alert, even at night. When most people were sleeping, they were alert. If they were sleeping, probably the angel said, "Hello, hello, come on, I'll tell you good news." And it's like, okay, time is up. Three tries. We'll try somebody else. Well, we'll go to a nightclub and they are still dancing there. We will go and bring the good news to those people. Right? Everybody is sleeping. But they were alert. Right? When angels came, they were alert. We have to be alert. And do not fall to sleep in spreading the good news. And when the shepherds heard the news, what did they do? They hurried. They hurried. 2:16, they came in a hurry. I look up the Greek word and make sure that it meant hurry. And the Greek word did mean hurry. Haste, quickly, means quickly. They wasted no time, just like that Nike. Just do it. Right? Don't wait. The problem with us, trying to lose weight. That's my problem. Seems they keep telling me, okay, you got to stop eating those dark chocolate. I know it's good for your heart, but it's not good for your tummy. I said, all this scientific research said that eating dark chocolate is good for your heart, right? But not necessarily good for your waistline. I will do it after Christmas. I will be running, jogging, exercising, doing sit-ups after all the Christmas dinner, right? We always want to wait. But evangelism is this spontaneous overflow of a glad and free heart in Jesus Christ. It's spontaneous, isn't it? When you hear the good news, you want to spell it out. You don't want to hide it. When there's a big sale, first of all, they tell me, hey, Dad, this is on sale. But hurry up. I only have 8 hours, 25 minutes, and 15 seconds left. No, this is 40% plus 10%. And then if you use your coupon, use your gift card, you get another 20%. And then end up, it's almost free, and free shipping. Right? When you saw a good movie, I was like, wow. This is a good movie. You need to come and see it. We saw a really good movie at Connell's a few weeks ago. It's a really good movie. But you need to find out what this good movie is. Right? When you read a good book, people don't read books anymore. When you read a great news, you want to share this. Right? You don't want to hide it. Oh, no, I saw a really good movie. Don't tell anybody. Just keep it secret. We don't want anybody to see this movie. But when we receive this good news of Jesus Christ, why are we keeping it in our safe? But sometimes we are like that, isn't it? We never try to share this good news. The shepherds, when they received this good news, they made known the statement. That's a better translation by Eugene Peterson. They told everyone they met. This is the message, Bible. They told everyone they met, just like when you saw this good movie at Connells. You tell everybody you met, isn't it? Right? When you came to this celebration on Friday night, everyone is so excited. Ah, I wish so-and-so was here. Well, it's too late now. You have to wait until next year. But next year will be even better, right? But you have to wait now, right? But they told everybody. This is our job, is to tell everybody about this good news. Next year, the theme of our church will be the power of the gospel. Next year, we're going to focus on sharing the good news. And I hope that next year that we all make a commitment to bring at least 3 people to hear the good news, not to convert 3 people. It's not up to us to convert people. Bring them to fellowship. Bring them to worship. Bring them to Alpha. No one brings people to Alpha. That's the easiest way to share the good news. You don't have to do anything. You just bring them, let them sit there, and then someone else will do the work for you. So next year, our theme will be the power of the gospel. We need to. I hope that we all make a commitment in the coming year or even the coming week to share this good news. Not just 3 people. As many to tell everyone about this good news. A study done in U.S. On the 13, I forgot the exact number, the most effective way of evangelism, 15 or 13 of them. Then they did a study, a survey. They surveyed 15,000 people. That's a fair size number. They surveyed 15,000 people, and then with this 13, it is 13, what is the best way to bring someone to Christ? Obviously, you don't know, right? Because you don't look at this kind of thing. You don't look at sales and Black Friday or Boxing Day sale. And over these 13 approaches, the best way is personal invitation. 63% of the people did the survey said if a person from a family member or a friend invite them to church, they will go for a visit. 67%. That means out of 120 people here, at least 70 people would come if you invite them. But obviously, we don't have 70 people here, extra here, because we did not invite. It is so effective, personal invitation. Out of the 13 approaches, gospel meetings, giving out tracts online, the most effective is personal invitation from family members and friends. Why were the shepherds so excited about this good news? Why were they so eager to tell everybody? Because their lives has been changed. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. They are not just reporting this good news like some of us do in our Sunday school, maybe even in our sermons. Maybe we're just reporting this good news. But for them, they experienced this change in their life. They actually changed. When they went back, not only that, they would go back and their work to look after the sheep, they actually go back there, their life had been changed. They were glorifying and praising God. Maybe we don't have this eagerness, urge to share the good news. Maybe our life needs to be changed and impacted. just not reporting the good news. The shepherds, their life has been changed. They were worshiping God, praising God, and that gave them the power to be a good evangelist. Not just our Bible knowledge, our theology training, even if we are a pastor. So in closing, I want to share this quotation from Charles Spurgeon, probably one of the greatest preachers in the last century, this century. And I'm sure a lot of you have read some of his sermons. He was called the Prince of Preaching. But he was not only good in homiletic preaching skill, but he has a heart for people's lost soul. He said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. That's very English, right? We don't say that in Chinese. Let them leap over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees. Wow. If hell must be filled, if there's a quota, but that obviously is not. It's just saying, if hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions that we're stopping people going to hell. And let no one go unwarned or unprayed for. Wow. When I first read this, my heart just keep pumping. I sense this so powerful. I almost suffocated. What a powerful conviction. And I felt I'm so far away from Charles Spurgeon's conviction. Would you let someone die to hell? Charles said, over our dead bodies. Where are our bodies? If someone perished because they did not hear the news, with our arms holding on to their knees, where are our arms? If there has to be a quota, obviously it's not. It's just an analogy. If the hell has to fill a certain quota, they have to go to hell. Let us be the one who's stopping them. Be filled in the teeth of our exertions. And if someone are lost, eventually got outside the kingdom of God, let us be the one who had warned them. Let us be the one who have prayed for them. Amen.